Well, if you could open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5, we have what is called the Beatitudes. And if you joined us this morning for the first time, we've been going through the Beatitudes. And if you look through those Beatitudes, they give you an idea of the characteristics of God's people. Read the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 and you will see what God's people should look like. For instance, God's people know in their unsaved state that they were spiritually corrupt. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, the Lord Jesus says. God's people have mourned over their sins. They've been convicted of their sins. Jesus says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. God's people are humble and meek. God's people hunger and thirst after righteousness. God's people show mercy. As you read the Beatitudes, God's people are peacemakers. As you read further on, God's people are also amongst the persecuted. Now in Matthew chapter 5, from verse 13, Jesus teaches that his followers are to be both salt and light. Verse 13, there ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. When Jesus says that his followers are the salt of the earth, Jesus is meaning that they are very valuable and very necessary in this world. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you are valuable and necessary. Don't underestimate how necessary the church is in Australia. One writer writing about the history of salt states this: salt's profound impact on human civilization spans recorded history and in fact precedes it. It has certainly been a part of human existence from our very beginning. During the early days of the Roman Empire, salt was used as a form of payment. Soldiers were regularly paid with a handful of salt. In fact, this precious commodity was part of the reason the Romans built their roads. As the empire grew, so did the need to transport salt back to Rome to support its burgeoning population. So Jesus says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." I don't know if you've ever heard the saying, perhaps of a worker. Someone might look at a worker and they see that he's slack and they might say, he's not worth his salt. Have you ever heard that? Well, that goes back to being paid by salt. And actually, the word salary means salt money. So if you're receiving a salary, in the old days, you would have received a salt perhaps as part of your payment, but that's where we get the word salary from. Now, when you think about salt, salt is very useful in several ways. Salt adds flavour. One little boy said, salt is what tastes bad when you don't have it. That's pretty brilliant, isn't it? Colossians 4 verse 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Salt adds flavour. Salt creates thirst. And if you live a life for Jesus in your community, or in your school, or in the university, or in your workplace, then you should actually be creating by your presence a thirst for people to know God. Now, not everyone in your presence will want to know God, but there are some that may look at your life, that they may look at your love for others, they may look at your peace, they may look at your joy, they may even look at your suffering and see that you've got the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, and you might, by your very presence, make a person thirsty for God. Salt brings healing. Lives are rescued from disaster, burdens can be lifted, sorrows can be eased, souls can be restored from spiritual disaster, All these things can happen when God works through his people by his Holy Spirit as God's people are effective salt in a sinful society. Salt brings healing. Salt irritates. I don't know if you've ever had salt on a wound, I should say. If you've got no antiseptic, someone might have said, oh, I'll just put a bit of salt on it. Well, salt stings. Salt irritates. I want you to notice that Jesus didn't say in the Beatitudes here, you are the sugar of the earth. No. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. And salt can really irritate. And God's people sometimes will irritate the unsaved world. And many times they'll irritate the unsaved world. And that's why the Lord Jesus, after speaking about the characteristics of the people of God in Matthew chapter 5 in the early part, comes to verse 10 and he says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I wonder, as a believer, have you been misunderstood? Some people, believers certainly overseas, are physically abused because they've been a believer in the Lord Jesus. Some marriages have broken up because one partner becomes a Christian and all of a sudden the other partner is against them. There are people that are in the workplace and they find that they're persecuted because they love the Lord Jesus. They stand for him. They won't do what the other workmates will do. And so they become the object of scorn. If you live these kingdom values out, you will find that you are going to be persecuted. And you might say, well, I've never been persecuted. Well, maybe you're not living out God's testimony in this sinful society like you should. Jesus says that God's people will be persecuted. Now, the Apostle Paul was salt in this world. And when you look at Paul's ministry, it's great to read about his ministry. But you'll find when he went into cities, there were two responses. There was either riots, he caused riots, or there were revivals. Riots or revivals. People came against the Apostle Paul and people came to know the Lord Jesus as Saviour. The Apostle Paul was salt in his world and he had a stinging influence on society. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 23, Paul said, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Salt can irritate. Salt can sting. If you look at the ministry of the apostles in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John shared the word. And Peter, speaking of Jesus, says, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. His preaching angered the religious authorities. Acts 4 verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Salt irritates. And Peter and John's message irritated those that rejected Jesus Christ as Messiah. God's word and God's people are still an irritation in our society today. Today, if you speak up against sodomy, if you speak up against abortion, if you speak up against immorality, if you speak up against alcohol, you will actually irritate many people in this world. Today, if you speak up for the gospel and you say there's no salvation outside the Lord Jesus Christ, you will irritate and you will anger many in the world. 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ, that's an aroma, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savour of death unto death, and to the other the savour of life unto life. The gospel has two reactions, reception or rejection. And often when a person rejects the gospel, they are irritated by what you say. Salt irritates. Jesus said, if you're of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Another thing that salt does is that salt preserves and salt purifies. Now remember when Jesus was speaking the Sermon on the Mount, amongst those people were his close friends, his disciples, he's speaking to them, and amongst those disciples were fishermen. And when Jesus speaks about the salt of the earth, fishermen knew how good salt was for preserving the catch. In the old days, they didn't have refrigeration, certainly in Jesus' day. And what they could do, the fishermen would go out and they would catch their fish. And if they, two things they could do when they came to shore, they could sell their fish in the market or to people privately. Or if they wanted to preserve that fish for a longer time, they would salt the fish. Salt purifies. But it was no good for a fisherman to have his catch in one barrel and the salt in the other barrel and never use the salt to make contact with the fish. We are to make contact with the world. It's no good for salty saints to sit and soak in the congregation here without actually going out during the week and being salt and light. We need to be salty saints seeking the shepherd in a sick and sinful world. That's what we need to be. Ye are the salt of the earth, the Lord Jesus said. When was the last time you explained the gospel to someone that was unsaved? When was the last time you prayed for someone that was not saved? When was the last time you supported a missionary, either financially or by writing a letter or sending an email? When was the last time that you gave out a gospel tract or a gospel letter or sent an email to someone that needs the gospel? We've got to make contact with the unsaved in this decaying world in order to have a preserving effect. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Imagine a man being a fisherman and he never ever comes into contact with fish. Imagine that. Imagine he says, oh, I'm a fisherman, but fish really smell. I don't like the smell of fish, so I'm not going to come into contact with any of them. And so how many fish would that fisherman catch? Zilch. Absolutely none. You know, there are some Christians today that never come into contact with non-Christians or rarely come into contact with non-Christians. However, are they going to be the salt of the earth? They've got to get out of the salt shaker of the church and get into society and need to have a preserving effect. They need to have an effect maybe even of irritating people with the good news of the gospel, because some of those people will come to know the Lord Jesus as Saviour. Jesus said, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Salt preserves and salt purifies. You know, think about our country. We live on an island here. It's an incredible island that we live on. Not everyone has the chance to live on an island. You go to Europe and there are countries over there that are surrounded by other countries. But we have the wonderful privilege of living on a huge island. But you just think about our island if we didn't have salt in the sea. We are actually surrounded by salt in Australia. And salt has a purifying effect. Do you know that our rivers run into the sea? The pollution that is fallen on the land eventually gets washed into the sea. And the salt has a purifying effect. Just imagine if we didn't have salt water surrounding Australia. What would the smell be like when you go to the ocean? It'd be a putrefying smell. But salt has the effect of purifying. Salt has the effect of cleansing. And just as we couldn't imagine living in an island without salt water surrounding us, You know, it's impossible to imagine that the church, almost impossible to imagine what it would be like if the church didn't have a salty influence in our society. What stops the rot in our society? You might say, oh, the government. Well, the government are actually there to punish evil. But what stops the rot in its full extent? Do you know what stops the rot in its full extent? It's salty saints. As the Holy Spirit works through us in our lives, we are the salt of the earth. We are the ones that have a purifying influence on this world for eternity. The government may give temporal punishment, but we are here for an eternal measure. And the eternal measure is to be the salt of the earth, to have a purifying effect on the world, to have an effect of healing. We go into this world with the good news of the gospel. And when we have the good news of the gospel, it brings healing of souls, healing of families, healing of minds. What a wonderful thing it is to be called the salt of the earth. If we're not salty saints, then our society is going to be increasingly, increasingly decaying. What stops the rot in society? It is the salt of the earth. It is the church. And you know, we might underestimate the power of the church today. We might underestimate the power of individuals to be salt. But I'll show you its power. I'll show you the power of the church. Because when you read the scriptures, when you read about the rapture of the church, when the church is taken away, society completely disintegrates into spiritual decay. You read Matthew chapter 24. You read about the spiritual decay and the spiritual devastation once the church has been removed. The church is the salt of the earth. Every believer should have a purifying effect on people around them. God wants holy men and holy women to be the salt of the earth today. And a good question to ask is, what difference am I making to a dying and decaying world? What influence am I having on my family, on my friends, on my neighbours, on my school, on my university, on my workplace? What influence am I having as a person that has been born again? The Lord Jesus said of his coming, he said, but as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. Noah's days was completely corrupt. The thoughts and intents of man was corrupt totally in Noah's day, and God brought judgment. And God says in his word that the days that Jesus comes is just going to be like the days of Noah. Think about Australia. Our jails are full. This nation is polluted with crime. This nation is polluted with pornography. It is polluted with abortion. It is polluted with drugs. It is polluted with sex. It is polluted with humanism and materialism. It is polluted with evolutionary theory. It is polluted with idolatry and false religions and false doctrines. Our nation is broken financially. Our nation is broken morally. Our nation is broken spiritually. But is the church brokenhearted? The church should be. If the church is salt, it should be brokenhearted about the broken nation that we live in. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. I think today that the church has lost its saltiness in many places. You know, you can go through the Bible and there are sad tales of people that knew the Lord that have lost their saltiness. Let me just give you a couple of examples. Samson. Samson in the Bible lost his saltiness. Samson knew that God had a special purpose for his life. Samson, when he talked to Delilah, said this, I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. Here was Samson admitting to Delilah that God had set him apart from his mother's womb. In his life, we see that Samson was empowered for God's purposes. He was separated for God's purposes. He was entrusted for God's purposes. He was a judge of Israel. He was to be a separated man. He was a gifted man. He was an empowered man. But Samson lost his saltiness. One of the saddest verses in the Bible about Samson is this, Judges 16:20. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Samson, you know, was a man of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 testifies to the fact that Samson was a believer. He was a man of faith, but he was a man of the flesh. And what a sad ending he had. Samson lost his saltiness. Let me summarize his life. Samson was bound by the enemy. He was blinded by the enemy, and he found himself in bondage to the enemy. A man that was set apart by God in the womb, a man that was endowed by tremendous strength when the Spirit of God came upon him, a man that was called to the position of a judge in Israel, he lost his salt. How sad. There's another person that I believe lost his salt, and his name is Lot. And I believe that Lot was not a salty saint. In Genesis chapter 19, it appears that Lot had moved into Sodom. If you read about his move, read about his life, you find that he sees the well-watered plains, he casts his eyes towards Sodom. And then the Bible says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. That's what the Bible indicates in Genesis 13, verse 12. Genesis 19, it appears that Lot had moved into Sodom. So he looks, he pitches his tent, he makes a move into Sodom. More than making a move into Sodom, he's a person that's got a position in Sodom society. He sits at the gate of Sodom. When a person sat at the gate, that was a person that was considered of a high position in the city. Lot had the position of sitting at the gate. And yet you look at his life, and I believe his testimony was poor in that city. I believe that he had little impact on the city of Sodom. In fact, I've got a saying about Lot. Lagging Lot lost the lot. He had to be taken out of Sodom by those angels, and every material possession he left behind in the city of Sodom, everything. He got his wife out, but she became under the judgment of God. He got his daughters out of Sodom, but he couldn't get Sodom out of his daughters if you examine what they did. I think that Lot had a poor testimony. I think Lot was not a salty saint that he should have been in the city of Sodom. You don't want to be a saint that loses his or her saltiness. I believe, and the scripture testifies, that Lot was a saved man, but compromise destroyed Lot's testimony. He loses everything. Except his life and his salvation. There's another person that I believe lost their salt in the Bible, and it was a man called Demas. And if you read about Demas in the Bible, he was a ministry companion of the Apostle Paul. And Paul describes him as a fellow labourer in Philemon chapter 1, verse 24. So I would assume that Demas was a saved man, if Paul regards him as a fellow labourer. I think Paul would have checked out the people that were in ministry with him, and I feel sure that he would have made sure that they understood the gospel of salvation. So I believe that Demas was a saved man. But I think that Demas lost his saltiness. He got his eyes off the work of the Lord, and he got his eyes on the world. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia, Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Demas, someone that was in ministry with the Apostle Paul, had forsaken Paul. And Paul says, having loved this present world. Demas' life is a lesson to us. We can be people that lose our salt, that lose our influence in this world for the Lord. How many people do you know that have been vital parts of ministries? They've been in churches, and then they stop going to Bible study, and then they go from church, from maybe going once a week, they'll go once a fortnight, then once a month, then once every couple of months, then once every 6 months, and all of a sudden, this person that had been vital in ministry no longer is an effective witness for the gospel. Take notes. Remember Samson. Remember Lot. Remember Demas. It's possible to become useless for gospel work. It is possible to lose our saltiness. Vance Havner reminds us, he was a preacher of the past, and he says this about being salt. "We are the salt of the earth, not the sugar. And our ministry is truly to cleanse and not just to change the taste. Too many Christians live their lives inside their heads. It never gets out through hands and feet and lips. Salt must be brought into close contact with whatever it is meant to affect if it is to do any good. Christians are the salt of the earth. We must be willing to be rubbed into the decaying carcass of an unregenerate society. Most of us are content to sit on Sunday in our little salt shakers, far removed from a needy and lost humanity. A box of garden seeds looks very attractive with its pretty coloured packages, but those seeds must be emptied from the pretty packages into the dirty earth to die and come up again, if we are to have anything to eat. Christians look pretty enough in church on Sunday morning, but, as Jesus says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. Adrian Rogers said, "We must present the Lord Jesus Christ in integrity, but a problem sits in our church pews, saltless saints." I want to close with the story of a girl that went to university numbers of years ago. I think it was in the early 1900s. And James Stewart, a preacher, writes about her testimony. He says this: "When I was saved during a mighty movement of the Spirit of God in Glasgow, Scotland, a young lady was also saved. Her name was Helen Ewing. At the very threshold of her new life in Christ, she crowned him as absolute Lord and was filled with the Spirit. The rivers of living water just simply flowed from that young girl's life. Although she died at the age of 22, all Scotland wept. I know hundreds of missionaries all over the world who wept and mourned for her. She had mastered the Russian language and was expecting to labour for God in Europe. She had no outstanding personality. She never wrote a book nor composed a hymn. She was not a preacher and never travelled more than 200 miles, so far as I know, from her home. But when she died, people wrote about her life. Although she died so early in life, she had led a great multitude to Jesus Christ. She arose early each morning, about 5 o'clock, to study God's word, to commune and to pray. She prayed for hundreds of missionaries. Her mother showed me her diary, one of her diaries, and there were at least 300 different missionaries for whom she was praying. It showed how God had burdened that young heart with a ministry of prayer. She had the date when she started to pray for a request, and then the date when God answered her petition. She had a dynamic prayer life that moved God and moved man. I was talking one day with two university professors in London City. We were talking about dynamic Christianity when one of them suddenly said, "Brother Stuart, I want to tell you a story." And he told me that in Glasgow University, there was a remarkable young lady who, wherever she went on that campus, left a fragrance of Christ behind her. For example, if the students were telling dirty stories, someone would say, "Shh, Helen is coming, quiet." And then she passed by and unconsciously left the power behind her. That was a young woman at university that had a tremendous influence for the Lord Jesus. She was truly salt in her country of Scotland. Salt adds flavour. Salt creates a thirst. Salt brings healing. Salt can irritate. Salt preserves. And salt purifies. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The church of Jesus Christ is so important in society. The church is both salt and light. We must be salty saints, because as we look towards the coming of the Lord Jesus for his church, we see a sick and decaying and dying world, and many in our world have no hope unless a salty saint comes into their presence with the good news of the gospel. Let me pray. Father, we pray that each of us here that know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour would have a spiritual influence on others. Lord, we see that this world is heading towards a tribulation period. Lord, we see a decaying and dying world. But Father, you've given us life. We thank you for the good news of the gospel. We thank you for the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that we can have a testimony in this world, and we pray that you might use us as holy vessels for our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I heard about old story, how a Saviour came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He brought me and sought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.